Well, good evening. It's good to be with you again tonight. I enjoyed getting to know some of you a little bit this morning, hopefully I'll get to meet some more of you tonight. But tonight I'm going to talk about the work of the Lord in South Africa, and a little bit about Namibia, and a little bit about Belgium, which has nothing to do with Africa, but took a trip there with my grandfather recently. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those things. I'm going to be talking more about more than just my work there. We're talking about the work of the Lord, and this really is His work. The men who do the work are only important in that they've learned what the Lord has already taught and they're able to impart that to others. But it's really the Lord who must be glorified in all things. And so I'm going to be dealing with some other men. And one thing I hope that you get from this is a motivation. In Isaiah, we find an attitude that Isaiah had. When the Lord needed something done, he says, "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" That's the attitude of Isaiah. Oh, the Lord needs something done. I can do it. Let me do it. And that's the attitude that we should all have. And I believe that's the attitude of the men that I'm going to talk about tonight, who are doing this work that the Lord has given. This is a map of South Africa. It certainly doesn't have all the cities up here, but these are the cities where I know about some of the work that's going on. So these are the preachers that I have listed up there that are doing work in the country, and there are more preachers than this, some that I'm not familiar with. And then in some places there are churches without preachers. So the men will take turns preaching, and sometimes that works out okay. Other times the men really are not well prepared to preach, and so that's why a lot of these preachers travel a lot and work with these churches as well. But up at the top, you see Louis Trichardt, where David Beckley and James Buchanan and Prince Ramiera are. That area is called Venda. That's where the Venda tribe lives. And there are actually quite a number of churches there. Before my grandfather's time, when he moved to South Africa, I believe Gene Taupe and maybe Ray Votaw helped to get some work started there in Venda. Some men from Venda were working in Johannesburg where they were and were converted there, and they took the gospel back home to Venda, and now there are a lot of churches there. Now there are many churches with problems there as well. They have a problem with men who think that they're elders when they're not, just because they're older Christians. And they think, well, if I'm an older man, you know, in my village I'm considered an elder, so obviously in the church I'm an elder as well. James Buchanan said the other day, a man introduced himself as an elder of the church in Venda, which means he's an elder throughout all these different churches, you see. And that's how a lot of these men think of themselves. There are no elders in any of these churches. And that's because the men, unfortunately, really are not qualified to be elders. There is maybe one congregation that I know of where some men would say that there are men qualified to be elders, but one of the men is convinced he's not, so he won't do that work. But he still does a lot of work in leading anyway. But David Beckley has been there for many years. He's an older preacher. He's in his 70s. And he's been very active, very energetic, especially in training other men to preach. they're in Zimbabwe, which is just north of there, the country just north of them there. There are many preachers who really don't know much about the Bible. And so he will have them come to his house for 2 weeks of intensive training and teach them the history and geography of the Bible. They have to come 4 times to get through the whole Bible. That everybody's worn out after those 2 weeks, except for maybe him. No, I'm sure he is too. But he started having heart trouble and can't do quite as much as he used to. James Buchanan told him, "Well, don't worry, Brother Beckley," because he was getting depressed that he couldn't do as much. He said, "Brother Beckley, you're still doing as much as most American preachers do. He's still studying with lots of people, still preaching every Sunday, teaching classes. He just wasn't doing as much as he was used to doing, because he's a very hard worker, very hard." But James Buchanan has been there about 2 years now. He's a good friend of mine. He was in Columbia, Tennessee, working as a network engineer when my grandfather sent him an email and said, "We need you over here," because Brother Beckley had said he needed somebody to work with him. And so James and his wife Debbie and their 4 children moved to South Africa because somebody said, "We need you." So they said, "Okay, we'll go." They decided the same day they got the email they were going to go. It took them a little while to get everything organized so that they could, but they've been there about 2 years now, and James is just on fire. He's got a small congregation started where there was none before, from a man who was converted in prison, who got out, and James went and taught the man's neighbors, and now there's probably over 20 people in the congregation now, and they're very active in evangelism. James is, and a lot of the others who are growing are starting to do that as well. Prince is the only full-time Vinda preacher, although there are other Vinda preachers who put a lot of work into preaching, but he's the only one who is totally dedicated to that work. As you go south to White River, you have Rob Buchanan and Darlington and Lovu in that area. Rob is a very good Bible student, and I think my grandfather trained him while he was living in Johannesburg. And so he's been preaching for a number of years now. The church in White River is not very big, but there are probably 30-something there. Darlington and Lovu, I forget what tribe he's from. He may be a Zulu, but that's not a Zulu territory up there. But he knows several different languages, so he travels around teaching all over Southern Africa, not just in South Africa. And he does a lot of interpreting work for other preachers as well. He is he used to teach at a World Bible School. He was the instructor and in charge of it until he got to thinking about how World Bible School was organized, and went to the guy in charge of him and asked him, "How is this thing organized?" And he wouldn't tell him. So he went to Rob Buchanan, and Brother Buchanan said, "All right, I'll show you." And he drew it out on the whiteboard, all these churches send money to this organization, which then has these schools. And he says, "But that, you can't find that in the scriptures." And so he ended up leaving there, and he's gotten in touch with a lot of people that he taught in that school, and has now straightened them out, or tried to straighten them out, on institutionalism as well. In Johannesburg, there's Fred Ligon, who's in his 80s now, I believe, and he's still preaching up there. Alan Fox is he's a colored brother, and that's not a racial slur in South Africa. It means he's mixed race, and that's just in South Africa we have whites, blacks, Indians and coloreds, and everybody talks about that about it that way, and nobody takes offense. So that's just the way it is there. So he is an excellent preacher. I always love hearing him preach or teach classes. He's an excellent Bible student as well. He preaches for the church in Brixton, which my grandfather started back in the 1960s or early 70s. And it's now a very strong congregation. They probably have over 100 maybe people from all over, because Johannesburg is kind of the hub, and there's a number of churches in Johannesburg, but Brixton is sort of central, and so they get a lot of people there. Neil Hadfield is someone who is not necessarily a full-time preacher, but he's pretty dedicated to the work of preaching. He supports himself. And Trevor, or Mandla, is another one. He preaches in Soweto, but he supports himself. I think he gets some support from some local churches, but it's not enough to work without a job. Then as you go south, you get into Zululand here, which is more of what I'm mostly familiar with. In Nkandla, that's a big rural area, a very large, spread out rural area, a lot of poor people there. They have a small church, about, I'd say 15 to 20 members. For a long time, Simon Sikakani was the only man in the congregation. All the others were women, so he had to do everything. He had to preach, teach, lead singing, lead the prayers, everything. And that was for years that it was that way. And that we would have tent meetings out there, and maybe some young men would be converted or at least baptized, and then but they wouldn't last very long before they were gone. But Shadrach Shabalala has moved there now in the past couple of years, and he's a very good preacher, and so he and his sons are helping out a lot, and I think it's helping Brother Sikakani a lot to have another good preacher to study with, because you know, when you're out on your own, it's not very good for a preacher if you can't study with other men who have good Bible knowledge. So I think they're both doing well there. To the east of there is Richards Bay, and David Ngunyama preaches there. He's been living in Ashawi, where I live, and my grandfather, and going to Richards Bay on Sundays to preach for a couple of years, but I think he's gotten tired of that since he can't really work with the brethren there during the week that way. And so he's just moved back to Richards Bay. So that he can do his work better. Then as you go a little bit south, there's Ashawi, which is where my grandfather, Paul Williams, and Mzwandile Gazu and I live, and we're all members of the congregation there. The church in Ashawi is about a little over 50 members, and we have elders now, which is great. I'll talk a little bit more about Mzwandile in a little bit, but my grandfather, Paul Williams, he's 84 now. He just had a birthday last Tuesday, I think. And so he's getting old, and he's lost most of his eyesight, but he's very active in the work of preaching the gospel. He travels about 2 hours every Friday to teach a class with a young man who was converted in a tent meeting out there recently. And anyone that's this young man can get into the class. And he's preaching on just about every Sunday morning, and I think a lot of Sunday evenings now as well. He's teaching the Wednesday night class while I'm gone. He's just doing a lot of work for somebody his age. It's hard for him to study. So what he does is he has Mzwan Dile or Zipo, who lives with us, read to him from commentaries or from the scriptures or whatever it is he's studying, because he can't read it himself very well. And so that way he can also discuss it with them, and I think that works out pretty well. As you go south then, from there, you get to Durban. Durban is a big city, and it has a very high Indian population. So most of the churches in Durban are made up of Indians. There's one primarily Zulu congregation in downtown Durban, but they're very small and they're not very active. My grandfather has tried to work with them quite a bit and try to motivate them to get busy, get the brethren to do some evangelism there, but nobody there seems to be interested in teaching their neighbors or anything, so it's not going too well there. But there's a lot of good, strong churches in Durban, and so you see that there's quite a few preachers in that area. Scott Tope is a bit outside of Durban. He works with three different churches, I think. Paddy Kindleball has moved there. He was working in Zimbabwe for a long time, but the government was just making it too hard for them to stay there. So they've moved to Durban, as well as Les Maydell. They've moved down to Durban now as well. Limi Chetty is one of the elders in the church in Phoenix, which is in Durban. He's retired from the postal service, and so now he has all this time to do the work of an elder, first of all, but he also does a lot of preaching, and he does a lot of good work with not only the congregation where he's an elder, but other churches around. And Links Govender is another one, another Indian brother who does a lot of preaching. Then Richard Harding is a young man, 40 years old. He just started preaching about a year ago. And I'll tell you how he got started. There's a South African brother named John Cripps who moved to America. He now preaches in North Carolina. But he has MS, multiple sclerosis. So you know, he's in pain a lot of the time. Different parts of him will go numb without warning. And he doesn't know what's going to happen. He has some trouble with his vision now. But he's very active as a preacher, and he makes trips to South Africa to preach for a month or 7 months or however long he can. And so while he was over there for a long time, he got going with Richard, taking him with him where he would go to preach. And so when it came time for him to go back, the churches were telling Richard, when John's gone, you should come and preach for us. And of course, he thought about making excuses, but he thought, okay, here's a brother who has MS, who's on his holiday, and takes that to spend all this time preaching and teaching classes over here. I think I can probably do some work as well. So he started preaching, and he's teaching classes and just doing a really good job. And now he's about to move to Cape Town next month to try to help with the work there, because it's another huge city where there's not so many preachers. As you go farther south, Stephen Bays is in the Margate area. Some of you have heard of Stephen Bays. He is in a wheelchair. He's paralyzed from the waist down, but he preaches. His wife has a job, which is why they moved to Margate. So she goes to work during the day, and he has maid, or I don't know what you call her, who comes and takes care of him during the day. And he taught her the gospel. And she obeyed the gospel, and then through her they made more contacts. And now the church there has about 20 people, last I heard. Then in Uvongo, which is just outside of Margate, Adam Kindleball has gone there. He was also preaching in Zimbabwe, but because of the difficulties with visas, he decided to just stay in South Africa. But the church in Uvongo is another one John Cripps got in touch with while he was over there. They were an institutional group, sort of. They didn't practice institutionalism, but they were, all their connections were to institutional brethren, and they had a few practices that were not really scriptural. And so John went there, and he talked with them, and they just never studied those things. And they were very happy to learn the truth about authority and how to think about getting God's authority from the scriptures. And so they ended up asking Adam to come work with them. And so he's trying to help them grow, even though many of them really have very little Bible knowledge. As you go farther south, we find Vuyisani Jikimlambo in Queenstown. I'll talk about him a little bit more later. Timikosi Apleni in King Williamstown. He's one who's crippled in his left hand. He can't use his left hand. But he's very busy preaching the gospel. He doesn't use that as an excuse. It's harder for him to drive because we sit on the right side of the car. He has to reach across to shift gears and all of that. But he drives everywhere to go preach. When you get down to Uitenhage, Norman Simon's there. He's getting a little bit older, and Brian Allen as well. I talked with them, and Brian Allen told me, you know, all the older preachers seem to be dying off now. And I said, well, I don't know. You're still here. Because, of course, to him, my grandfather is the older preacher, men like him. But, you know, he's an older preacher to me now. But they're doing some good work there. Brian Allen is a preacher because they needed a preacher. He didn't just decide to preach. He was an engineer and moved to Port Elizabeth for work. But the preacher there, they had a preacher. He was doing everything. He did the song leading. I think he may have led the prayers even. But he was just doing everything. And when the Allens moved there, Brother Brian said, this is crazy. There's other men here. Why aren't they doing work? So he started doing some of the teaching, the song leading, all those things. And finally that preacher moved, or I think he's unfaithful now. But Brian Allen just decided to retire early and start preaching. Because they needed that in that area. They needed somebody who would really have time to dedicate to that work. Then Ashley Husson has recently moved to Mossel Bay. There is a church there that used to be part of the Church of Christ mission. So you've probably never heard of that. I hadn't heard of it until recently. But out in that area, there's a lot of these Church of Christ mission groups, which, as far as I can understand, it seems to be a denomination that has come out of institutional groups in the past. So they teach the truth about, you know, the gospel, plan of salvation, and that's about it. So Brian Allen and Robin Bauer and some others have done a lot of work trying to go to them and try to teach them. Where up in Queenstown, where Vuyisani Jikimlambo is, he used to preach at a Church of Christ mission, but he left there after he realized how unscriptural it was. Well, this church in Mossel Bay is a group that was a Church of Christ mission, but then they repented from that. And they are now just the Lord's church there. So Ashley Husson has gone there to work with them. Seems like he's doing pretty good work so far. He's been getting some studies with whoever he can, his waiter at the restaurant, somebody he picks up on the side of the road, whoever he can get a study with, he'll study with them. Then as you go farther west, you find Hansbai. That's a small fishing village and sort of a touristy place as well. But Christo Groenwald is an Afrikaans man. He was a fisherman. He's retired now, but he lives there, and so he preaches because that's what needs to be done. He's the only one who can there. Although there is another congregation in town, which is a Xhosa-speaking congregation, and so he helps out with them a little bit as well. And then in Cape Town, which is a huge city, 4 million people, there's two preachers that I know of, Robin Bauer and Henny Visser. And I don't really know much about Henny Visser, I just know some people who know him. But Robin Bauer is very busy because, well, there's a ton of people who need to hear the gospel. And so he's always busy trying to teach them. And he's a good preacher. He's invited over to our side of the country all the time for lectureships and things like that. But that's where Richard Harding's trying to go. All right. But Ashawi is where my grandfather and Mzwandile and I are. And we did appoint elders. So this is a picture of my grandfather when we were appointing elders. What we did on that day with Sipo Masuku and Bonginkosi Langa, we had them sit up in front of the congregation, and then each one of us, my grandfather and Mzwandile and me, would get up and address the congregation, dealing with their responsibilities to the elders and that what they're going to be doing now. And then we would lay our hands on them and say a prayer like this to set them apart for the work. The scriptures are a little bit sparse on exact details on how to do it, but this is how we figured out to do it. This is Mzwandile. We were in a tent meeting, and normally we have somebody where we are will cook for us. In this particular tent meeting, the man that invited us to come was not a Christian at the time, and he had two wives, and so neither one of them were really interested in helping us out. So the men that we came with, including Mzwandile, did the cooking. I didn't do the cooking because I'm pretty miserable at that, but Mzwandile is actually pretty good, and so that's just to give you a little bit of a picture of his character. You can see him kind of smiling there as he's doing this work. He does not mind hard work. Mzwandile is just, he likes to do whatever needs doing. He has that kind of character, and he's a good man, stays extremely busy. Tent meetings are just part of what we do. But it is a big part of how we spread the gospel. Mzwandile usually arranges a place to go, and then he tells me we're going next week. So we end up going for about 2 weeks. We'll preach from a Monday through the Friday of the next week, and we'll have in the at the beginning of the service, we'll sing for half an hour, sometimes an hour, depending on how long it takes people to get into the tent. And then Mzwandile will present the Jewel Miller film strips and do that all in Zulu. Then we will have preaching, and a lot of times he's the one who will do the interpreting if I'm preaching. So he has to talk when he preaches, and he has to talk when I preach. And then he also, at the end of the service, after we close everything, we give a time for questions and answers. And so he handles that. He answers all the questions and does a great job because he has a great memory for where the scriptures are. You know, I can remember how something's worded and I can go look it up, but he just remembers where they are. And so somebody asks a question, all right, turn over to this scripture, and it has the answer for them. And so he does that. A lot of times by the end of a tent meeting, he's hoarse because he does a lot of talking. But that's only part of what he does. He preaches every Sunday night on the radio for an hour. He teaches classes most days of the week, I think. And some of those are in Richards Bay, so he'll drive an hour and a half to go teach two or three classes during the day and then come back in the evening. And just a very hard worker. Really a worthy preacher. Then up in Louis Trichardt, I talked to you about James Buchanan going there. He started doing some tent meetings. But we had a couple of years ago now, I guess, Larry Vinson come over. He's a member of a church in Gooch Lane in Huntsville, Alabama. And my grandfather was there. It's where my uncle's a member there. And so he met Larry and he said, Larry, why don't you come over to South Africa and do some preaching for us? So Brother Vinson said, okay, I'll come. And he's been over twice now and just does a wonderful job. He's extremely tall, which makes him stand out anywhere. He used to be a basketball player, but just a really good man all around and a good preacher. And really, you know, we don't like to think of race making a difference in how you preach or how you're received, but there's a little bit to it where when a black man preaches to black people, they can say things in a way that, you know, white people can't really say it, where they can connect in a way that we can't. Because they have, even though, you know, I didn't really think that there would be any real overlap between African Americans and Africans in their background. There really is actually quite a bit of overlap, and they could connect in a lot of ways. So it's really been wonderful to have him come over. He's a businessman. He's not a preacher, but he does preach. And you know, when in Birmingham, or not Birmingham, but in Huntsville, he does a lot of work in the prisons and things like that. And just, yeah, he does whatever he can do. He says, here I am, send me. If there's something that needs doing, he's going to work at it. And so that, he's another one who's done some really good work. This is just to show you, the Maydells used to be in Nylstrom. They're selling their house there. There's not much of a church there at all. There's just a few Christians, I say a few, maybe two, and I'm not sure if they're even in Nylstrom now, but the Maydells were always traveling anyway. They were hardly ever home, so now they've moved down to Durban, and they bought a tiny house down there where they plan to stay in their old age as they're getting older. So this is the Maydells, Les and Linda. He's quite a bit older than she is, but a very hard-working preacher. And his wife is also very hard-working. Great laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. You know, when I think of... some people like to tell me, well, you sound like you're working really hard. When I think of David Beckley and I think of Les Maydell, really, I'm lazy. These guys are hard workers. And it's great to have him near us now in Durban, because I get to see them about twice a month now, and that's really, really good. They're a great encouragement to everybody around there. And then this is Robin Bauer, who I told you is working in Cape Town. Very powerful preacher in his mannerism and because he's a good student of the Word. And he's one of those that doesn't just accept whatever he's told. He studies it for himself, and And so it's great to just have conversations with him and discuss things, because he brings out things that I haven't thought of before. And so it's really, really great. The church there in Cape Town, I've never actually met with the church there. But from what I understand, they probably have between 15 and 20, something like that. They meet upstairs in his house. He has a place that is just set aside for the church. I think they rent that from him. But anyway, he's very busy. And then this is Richard Bauer, who's trying to move out there to help him out. So Richard is not a professional preacher, if I can use that term. He's not supported to preach. He installs high-end audio equipment into vehicles. That's his expertise. But he's really growing in his preaching ability, and I think he's going to do a lot of good out there. He's not quite sure what he's going to do about his job situation when he moves there. He has a couple of options of opening his own business or partnering with somebody, but hopefully he'll get that worked out to where he'll have enough time to do what he's really wanting to do, which is spread the gospel. And then in Queenstown, I go there about twice a year now. There's several places that I try to hit all in one trip twice a year. And so this is a fairly small congregation. But when I go there and I have classes with them during the week in the evenings, the brother in the back in the middle is Vuyisani. He's a handyman. He's their preacher. But again, he's not supported to do it. He supports himself. But he tries to stay very busy with preaching the word. And this place where we meet is just a very small house that a brother there has. And so he invites everybody to come in. He's not embarrassed by his house. There's not much to it. But he says, look, I've got a space we can use to meet in. That's what he can do. And so he says, let me do that. Really, really good brethren there from what I've experienced. And this is Tim and Kosi Aplani and his wife, Suzuki. And their son, whose name I can never remember, but anyway, he's a very hard worker, and he's the only faithful preacher for a good distance around. So he tries to help other preachers who are in the area to come to the truth in some areas, but they're older men. Because Tim and Kosi is not that old; he's 40 something, I guess, but is still considered young to these other preachers. And unfortunately, part of African culture is you listen to the older people. Well, that's good, but it's to the extent that a younger person can't teach you anything. And unfortunately, these older preachers don't really listen to him very much. All right, so I think that's all I want to talk about with that. Tell you a little bit about Namibia. In December of 2011, we had a preacher training class in Ishawi. And we had two men come from Namibia for that. And that is a long trip. These men are accountants. That's their job. But in Namibia, they were the preachers in Windhoek, the capital. Thomas, who's in the front, and then in the back is Matthew. Now, Matthew got more out of it than just preacher training when he came to Ishawi. He's going to marry a girl from there in November, Lord willing. But these are men who just said, if there's preaching that needs to be done and there's nobody else here doing it, I'm going to do it. Unfortunately, Thomas there in the front has sort of drifted. He's joined himself with an institutional group in town now, even though he knows very well the problems of that. But this is the church there, very small, and it's smaller than this now. But that's because of this man another Thomas, who I spent a week with him in Rosh Pina, which is in the southern part of Namibia, going around to these shacks and preaching the gospel. Lots of people listening. Just incredible. You go up to a house, say, "Can we talk to you about the gospel of Jesus?" Oh, yeah. Almost every time we were able to teach them the gospel. Not a lot of people obeying, but they were hearing it. And unfortunately, right after I left, we had baptized two men. This is a sister that was down there and took care of us, but I don't have a picture of the men there. But we baptized two men, and Thomas, right after I left, they convinced him that they had received the Holy Spirit directly, so they were prophets. And then he decided he had received the Holy Spirit in that way as well, and just ended up going back up to Windhoek and splitting the church there. And so now, last I heard, they had four people. But it's been a while since I've talked to Matthew. Just quickly about Belgium, the preacher there is Peter Vandenbury. And we made a trip last year, my grandfather and I, because they just sent my grandfather an email, said, "Hey, we'd like you to come to Belgium, Genk, Belgium, and talk to us about institutionalism and about the head covering," since my grandfather wrote a book about that, and he's done lecturing on institutionalism before. So we went, and I taught about the big picture of the Bible, which is a presentation Ken Craig developed, but really good way of just teaching the gospel to somebody, and some other things about unity and some things like that. And we got on very well. But I'll tell you about Peter. Peter supports himself. He works 2 days a week. He makes bricks for roads, paving bricks, and he only has to work 2 days a week because it's a very stressful job. And so he spends the rest of his time preaching and teaching people. So that's another person who's just said, "Look, there's nobody here doing this work. It needs to be done. I'm here. Let me do it." And so he's developed himself in preaching the gospel. So this is what we find in the scriptures. In John 1, verse 45 to 46, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Can you do that? Can you tell your friend, "You know what? I found something wonderful. I found the truth about Christ and about how he saves us. And, you know, I'd love for you to come and hear some teaching on this down at the Church of Christ." And they say, "Oh, come on. Can anything good come out of the Church of Christ?" Come and see. Yeah. Can you do that? That's each person's responsibility, isn't it? As a Christian, we're supposed to be busy trying to teach our friends, our neighbors, our family, even strangers if we can. We can do that. In Acts chapter 8, we see that after Stephen was stoned, Saul began this great persecution on the church. And there towards the end, it says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." Who was that? Well, it says the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. It wasn't them. They had done their job for a couple of years of training these people there in Jerusalem. Now it was their job to go out and spread the word. If you were scattered tomorrow, if there was some great persecution and you all had to scatter and you weren't with your brethren anymore, would you be able to do that? Would you be able to preach the word? If you're not ready for that, that's something to grow towards. And if you are ready for that, well, you don't have to wait till you're scattered, do you? You can start preaching the word. We need to do that. We have opportunities everywhere. You don't have to go to another country to find a need for the gospel, do you? It's all around us. And we need to have that attitude that Isaiah had, "Here am I, send me." In Ephesians 4, we find this is the role of the church, to build up people so that they can work. That's what the church is for. That's why you come here, to be built up so you can go out and just get by in life? No. So you can go out and do the work of the Lord. Yes, not everybody does the same work. And that's clear in the scriptures. Not everybody is going to be as good at teaching the gospel to somebody as everybody else. But I'm not as good of a preacher as a lot of preachers. But you know what? I'm in South Africa. I live there. And not many of those preachers who are a lot better than me live in South Africa. I'm there. I can do the work. You're here. There's work to be done. You can do that work. We don't need to be thinking, oh, you know, there's a need for evangelism in this area. We should bring somebody in to do that for us. Or, I wonder who we can push to do that. We need to be thinking, I can do that. I need to do that. And if you don't know how to do that, then you get help. Go to the elders. Say, hey, I want to start doing some real evangelism. Can you help me with that? See, you know, they can help you, I'm sure. We need to be teaching people the gospel. We need to be spreading His word. People are lost in this world, and God says you are His tool to reach them. We need to volunteer. We need to say, "Here am I. Send me," even if it's next door. But if you are not a Christian, then none of this means anything, does it? You're not going to be able to do the work of the Lord and glorify Him if you're not even in Christ. Tonight, I don't want you to obey the gospel so that you can start preaching. But you need to obey the gospel so that you have a relationship with Christ and with the Father. So that when the end comes, you get to be with them forever. That's what we're all about. That's why we want to go out and teach others, because that's what we want for them. But tonight, if you are in a position where you're not united with Christ, if you have not died with Him in baptism, you haven't repented of your sins, if you believe in Him, you need to act on that. You need to confess Him and repent and be baptized tonight. And if you have sins you need to repent of, you need help repenting, or you need to let the church know you're repenting, tonight's the night to do that as we stand and sing.